We are about to connect with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, in Lviv. And Joseph, I'd like you to hear a little bit of music. One of our listeners emailed us this suggestion and said, next time you talk to Joseph, play this as your intro. Peace, we hope for it, but I understand it's been nothing but missile strikes, alarms, and explosions for you lately, Joseph. How you doing?
Yeah. Well, first, thanks to your listener for sending in. I believe that was Kansas, right?
Yes. And, carry on, wayward son. Yeah.
Exactly what I needed today, and what I think what everyone here needs, that encouragement to keep going. It was a sleepless night at 12:25. We had the first air raid alarm of the night. And unusually, the alarm always sounds for about 15 minutes, because usually there's enough notice for people to get to a shelter. As soon as the last notes of the alarm ended, we heard the first explosion, which, it's a bit concerning that would happen so quickly. We do know that we have information that when missiles come from Belarus, they can get here within 10 minutes. But it turns out, according to the information we have now, that these strikes came from the Black Sea, perhaps from a submarine. And it does seem that the air defense was working. I was outside with some people to watch and see what was happening. It was a loud explosion, like we heard a couple days ago on Sunday, much louder than when the city of Lviv itself was hit on April 18th. We saw flashes in the sky. And it seems that the Russians were targeting, once again, that military base that's between Lviv and Poland. They're almost hitting NATO territory, which could be of great concern for the world. The information we have is they were trying to hit, once again, railway targets, trying to stop the supply chain. By different counts, there were 7 to 10 different explosions, which everyone in the city heard. And then once again, once that alarm ended at 3:32 in the morning, we had another air raid alarm, but that was followed by peace. And quiet through the night. But obviously the whole city was on edge, and many people who had, in the past months have stopped going to shelters ran to the basements early this morning.
Yes, and because some of those attacks are happening just moments after the alarm, I think people there must be conditioned to act fast. Isn't that right?
Well, I think it's a new condition because, there had been, I wouldn't call it a complacency, but there had been a willingness just to keep living. And, even during the past, the past month when there has been an alarm, if it's daytime, people stay in the cafes, people stay in the streets. But I think now there's a new sense, and especially hearing that the closeness of those explosions, there's a sense that it's time to get to shelter.
And as you pointed out before, there's a weird juxtaposition of the beautiful scenery of that country and Lviv, the birds chirping, and meantime war going on all around you.
Yeah, and I was, as some of these explosions, as we were listening to the explosions, with a small crowd of people outside, I heard the birds, and then I heard the bells. There's so many churches in the middle of the city. The bells were tolling. It's such a strange, sort of surreal soundtrack to hear the church bells, the missiles flying over the city, and the birds chirping all at once. It's bizarre, Bob.
Yes, it has to be. You've mentioned a trip that you want to take, delivering some much-needed supplies around the area there. Has all of this halted your plans for that?
Not this per se. The problem is the fuel shortage, which has gotten significantly worse in the past few days. And according to our information, it would be almost impossible to refuel on the long trip. I mean, Ukraine is a massive country, the largest country fully within Europe, and we're planning to go, a good deal across this territory. And so now we're working to get fuel. We get so many supplies from Europe and especially from Poland. And so we are awaiting the shipment of fuel from Poland so that we can safely and quickly make that trip.
I heard something yesterday about a limit of something like 2.5 gallons per car there. Is that right?
That has been, and now in some parts of the country, it's not even possible to achieve that. But I mean, I think Ukrainians are well organized, and those who who are on an urgent mission, say, you know, if you're delivering some refugees or supplies, you're able to get over that limit. But the problem right now is that it is a severe shortage, and this is a new concern.
A story today about, well, let me read you the headline, Kyiv's war aims grow bolder. And there's a report about people feeling a little better about how well the Ukrainian forces are doing and speculating about what would define victory. How do you feel about that and your colleagues?
Well, we had with our Ukrainian news partners here, maybe it was about a month ago, we had a series of breakfast meetings for the foreign press, CNN, et cetera. And we introduced them to some of the top thinkers in Ukrainian academy and to define what is this idea of victory, and including some people who a scholar, for example, who survived the Soviet gulag. So people who really know Russia well. And I think for almost every Ukrainian now, the definition of victory, especially after seeing the atrocities, in the Kyiv suburbs, we see the news of Mariupol is basically fallen into Russian hands. That victory means not only going back to the borders of February 23rd of this year, but going back to 2014. So reclaiming the Crimean Peninsula. I think Ukrainians are pretty dedicated to that, because if they don't push Russia out totally now and there's some kind of temporary peace, this will happen again. Ukraine, many people were waiting for this to happen these past 8 years. And that's why I will say that some criticism has emerged recently, about the Ukrainian government from the fighters in Mariupol. I think because they were facing death, they felt they could speak quite freely. And they said that, they wished that Ukraine had prepared better for this war that began, because they knew for 8 years that Russia one day wanted to take more territory. And so I think now everyone has learned that lesson. And they say this war, there will not be victory until the borders are back to 2014.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. We hope, Joseph. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.